Life coaching and discovery. Inspiration with an invitation to learn from a self-discovery guide. Mark is passionate about you making positive changes in your life so that it becomes a vibrant, ongoing journey of growth and discovery. Welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show. Now, here's your host, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnow, and you are tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show. And every week, I hopefully find people to have conversations with that can inspire us, that entertain us, but more or less give us something to think about that make our lives better. And how I meet these people always varies, and sometimes I have book publicists email me. Other times I could just be in the flow of my life, meet somebody. This time I was on a table at my chiropractor's office, and he's read my book, and he said, you got to meet this guy. You got to have this guy on your show. He wrote a book called Hitchhiking with Larry David. And I said, well, that sounds great, because I used to watch Seinfeld, and I watched a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I've seen Larry David many times on television, and I'm thinking, well, this guy wrote this book about Larry David and was hitchhiking. He was picked up by Larry David. I gotta talk to him. So I reached out, I emailed him, Googled him, emailed him, said, hey, like you to be on my show. And he emailed me back, said he'd count me in. So we've been planning this time, and his name is Paul Dolman, and he's on the line. Hi, Paul. Welcome. We're going to have a great time, I can tell.
What a wonderful introduction. I'm happy to be here. And we speak of healer, chiropractic practitioner, Dr. Steve, who is a shaman and an amazing being. And we are demonstrating what happens when you're open to the infinite possibilities that are unfolding in every moment. So thank you. And thank you for your kind words.
Thank you. I enjoyed the book. You know, I get a lot of books. People send me books all the time, and I can't read them all, even if I wanted to, because I get a lot of them. And Paul graciously sent me this book, and I picked it up, and it was just so much fun. It was a fun book, and not only was it fun, it was the kind of book that gets you thinking about your life and about things in your life, how you could do better. And also, I think it got me in touch with the effortlessness in our lives and the magic, how we can, if we put ourselves in a position. And you know what? Martha's Vineyard was where this famous ride took place. And so I know Dr. Steve would spend the summers at Martha's Vineyard. And so I was kind of intrigued. And I got to be honest, though. You know, from reading this book, I even said to him recently, I said, you know, what, does everybody hitchhike in Martha's Vineyard? So let's start there. Does everybody hitchhike in Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah, great. A long time ago, before the mass transit was put in place and it's beyond efficient, and then the culture of fear took a deeper root of beware of the stranger, we used to hitchhike everywhere on the vineyard at all hours of the day and night. It was the only way to get around, especially for us without a car, but it's become quite rare. I was there this summer and picked up a couple of hitchhikers. I went once or twice myself and I got a ride. But what you speak of is I had loaned my car out that day and I had made a commitment earlier to go up to the far end of the island, and I just decided to stick my thumb out in Martha's Vineyard. It was a beautiful sunny day. And to my utter shock and amazement, Larry David pulled over. I still can't believe it. Life-changing experience. And asked me, yeah, need a ride? I said, yeah, I got in. And then his timing was off, I guess. He had never picked up a hitchhiker before, I found out later. Once I was in the car, once I leaned back and relaxed, he was leaning back like sort of with a horrified, semi-terrified look on his face. And then he sized me up and in typical Larry fashion, asked me quite plainly, if he said, "You're not one of those serial killers or something, are you?" And I thought, wow, but I'm already in the car. It's too late for Larry. But I thought about it, and I just said, well, even if I am, since I'm on Martha's Vineyard and it's the summer and it's a beautiful day, I'm on vacation and I'm not working.
I love that.
And he cracked up, shook my hand, and said, "I'm Larry." I said, "I'm Paul." And then we were pretty far away from where I was going, which was the end of the island with beautiful beaches. And he said, "Well, where are you headed?" And I said, "There." And he said, "All that way?" And I said, "Well, just go as far as you want to take me, and then I'll get other rides. That's how it works." But God bless him. He took me all the way to the end. We had this great talk. It got really deep and beautiful and was open. And granted, though, never at the time, even once for a second, did I feel, oh, this is inspired in terms of I'm going to write a book and this is a new path. Even though at the time I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life at all. And I had this ride with him. And then as the summer progressed, we kept running into each other and having these incredible synchronicities, as I did with other people. He wasn't the only one. He just happened to be a famous life form, which was no more valuable than non-famous life forms that I interacted with. I know that's heresy in America, so please forgive me that I'm saying that. But
You're forgiven.
At the end of that,
you're forgiven.
I'm forgiven. I ask for forgiveness.
This show, we practice forgiveness on this show. Not only
do
we inspire possibilities, we practice forgiveness. So you're forgiven.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And ask the Father. Here, I'll give you my power. Please forgive me for who I am. And I fast forward the last night of that summer. I had a dream that I was invited in the dream. It was a very conscious, strange dream that said, why don't you write a book called Hitchhiking with Larry David? I woke up, wrote it on a little piece of paper. I wrote it down. And a few weeks later, after debating with myself, since I had never written a book before, I thought, well, let's just start writing freely, authentically, because no one will ever read it anyway. It'll never come out. It won't even be a book.
Right.
I'm not even going to call it a book. I said it was a Word document aspiring to be a PDF file. Yeah, it became a book, but before it came out, I sent it to him, and I said, you know, here you pick me up. We run into each other countless times, and now this arrives. At this point in time, you have to be asking yourself, when will this nightmare ever end? But I felt like I couldn't put this out without at least sending it to my patron saint. And to my utter shock, again, he read it and wrote back, "I love this. I can't believe you wrote it." And he had a great line. And he said, "Oh, P.S. If I'd only known, I would have been wittier."
I saw that.
Classic
line. I love that. I love it.
So I then wrote him back and said, "Can I use that line?" And he said, "Yeah, go for it." And he's been nothing but a saint about all of it ever since.
Wow. So how has he helped you with the book? Has he helped you with the book and helped you market it? And
oh, no, not at all. But he blessed it. He told people about it. I've interacted with him several times since. He got a great kick out of it. He was really sweet. One day up in Chilmark on the porch, we were all talking about it, and I wish I'd had the video camera for it. It was such a fun conversation, about an hour long with all these people around. Yeah, the book had already come out. It was doing well, and you know, different sides from his perspective. He's so brilliantly funny and quite heartfelt. He's a really heartfelt guy in my experience.
Wow. You would never,
when it was over,
you know,
he said, yeah, go ahead.
You know, just saying how just the persona, you would never get that, you know?
Yeah, and that's what it is. That's a single layer of a character. It's like I play Mickey Mouse on TV, but I'm not really a mouse. I'm a human being, multifaceted. And in the book, you see sides of him that he never, ever shows. And when I asked him about that, he said, "Well," I said, "how come I've never read anything about this side of you?" And he said almost sadly, "You know, no one ever asks me these questions." It's like they only ask him the one-dimensional questions. And the other thing that on the ride, he said, "You know, I've never picked up a hitchhiker in my life, ever." And I asked, "Well, why did you pick me up?" Not to be a wise guy, but he thought for a good long time, to the point where I thought he might pull over and kick me out. But he put his hand on his heart. Mark, he put his hand on his heart and said, "I don't know. I just felt like I was supposed to.
Wow.
And if you start to trace that thread back, here I hitchhiked the last second. I loaned my car out. He picks me up. He never did it. There's a million other perfectly synchronized events in
right.
our lives. And then I
so
get a dream to so, write the book, and now I'm talking to you.
Yeah. I know. Hey, and if I didn't go to Steve and you didn't go to Steve and Martha's Vineyard, right? But the other thing is, so really, if you didn't loan your car out that day, you probably wouldn't have met Larry, right?
Oh, no. And if I was 5 minutes either way, and I'm still shocked he picked me up. And the reason I went to Steve is because I hit a sand spatch on a bike and went over the handlebars. And then somebody said, oh, I know a guy. And then I love that. I love Steve. We became like brothers. And to go back to your other question, did Larry ever do anything? But that day on the porch, he said, hey, get some pictures of us together. Get a book. And I said, no, no, no. And he said, yeah, it'll be good for you. And it'll be good for the book. And he was right. It gave it a certain legitimacy
wow.
that I hadn't made up the thing. And the book really isn't about him. He'll be the first guy to tell you. He's in the narrative.
Right. Yeah.
But
well, what I
it's about
what
you.
I was impressed
about
yeah, what I was impressed by because I'm you know I'm a writer too and an author and you know it was so well done the way as a memoir just the way that it was very touching the way you described your relationship with your parents that was beautiful and the woman you call Miracle it was so honest and real that it inspired me I mean I'm going God can I be more real? Can I be more authentic? Can I have, you know, more meaningful conversations? I think I do, but it inspired me to you know, think about that. And it just was very moving. And Steve told me that you have a new book out. Right,
well, I do. And first I want to acknowledge. Yeah. And first I want to acknowledge what you just said, because that makes my week and my day because you're welcome. The book became an inadvertent permission slip for people to do the things you just said, to be more real, to be more authentic, to be more loving, to be more open and perhaps more forgiving. And I have gotten hundreds and hundreds of emails and some notes and containing the most beautiful stories about things you just said with very enlightened examples of how the book altered them. That was not my intention. I just was trying to share. And again, you never know. One of the chapters in the book is called No Small Acts. It just shows how what we can think of as a small ripple, like Rosa Parks, who did give up her seat on a bus, and that precluded the Civil Rights Movement, the Civil Rights Act. It helped create a Martin Luther King. It helped elect a Barack Obama. She just didn't give up her seat. So when we do the right thing that's in our heart, there can be catastrophically wonderful consequences.
And I agree.
That take place cosmically. Now, to answer the other question, it's actually two books. There was a sequel from this. I wrote the first one, then I went back to trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. And even though I had a hit book, which was then obvious, like, well, maybe write books.
When you grow up? You mean that conversation?
Yeah. Well, I still haven't figured that out. No, I don't have no idea. Because I can't see to grow up. But beyond that, what am I supposed to do here? I wrote this book. Yeah, it's a hit. It's a fluke. People love the book. But, you know, what am I supposed to do? But I did finally find my way back to and write a sequel because all these people kept saying, well, what happened next? What about the girl? Did Larry read it? On and on. Is your dad still talking to you? And so I wrote a book called Martha's Vineyard Miracles, which was the sequel. And I thought, well, now I'm done. But then there was a third book because life keeps folding, and it's called Seven Crazy Days on Maui. And you can get any of these books in a bookstore or go to Amazon or online or Barnes & Noble. If you go to my website, paulsamueldolman.com, not only can you get a book, but I have this podcast called The Paulicast, and I have people from all over the world like you're doing this wonderful work. And I talk to them about everything from David Bacala, who run a couple Pulitzer Prize, the chief looking horse, the head of the Sioux Dakota, Marion Williamson, Rob Bell, you name it. And I'm doing the same thing I did when I was hitchhiking, learning, asking questions, reaching out, exposing myself, my heart in a vulnerable way in the hopes to have the kind of connection you and I are having here. And then when the echo comes back down the mountain, like you just said, hey, it inspired me to be a little more open. I feel like that's the my little cosmic wave in the universe for the greater good. It's all I got. And I can
right.
sleep really well just thinking, I'm doing my thing, and Mark's doing his thing, and Larry's doing
beautiful. You know,
yeah.
one thing I've been amazed ever since I, you know, got on the path of doing this work that I do and starting in 2000, of the people I meet and the amazing people I meet and how one thing leads to the next. And I never knew that I'd be writing books either, you know. And years ago, I remember when I was still a lawyer in the 80s, my stepfather, he would sometimes he'd say to me, quite a guy, Mark, you ought to write a book. I was not good in school with English and stuff like that. I never thought about writing a book. And then all of a sudden, you know, I wrote Dancing on the River, and I'm just finished up with Soul of Uncertainty. But you know what I like is that right before the show started, I opened your book up again. And I like your dedication, which I think it's kind of what I remember. I told you I wanted to talk about something and didn't want to tell you what it was because then it would kind of take the juiciness away. For all the people throughout my life who have picked me up when I really needed a lift, thank you. And what a great metaphor about hitchhiking.
That is really good. And by the way, your soul book is very good for those people that follow up and
thank you.
Check that out. You're definitely a writer, and you're asking wonderful questions. Yeah, because we don't do it here alone. We don't. When I eat food, I have to realize that a lot of people were involved bringing it to my plate. When I turn on the water spigot and I have hot water, which most of the world doesn't have, clean water, a lot of people were involved in the process to bring me water, to bring me food. I could write a book, but if I didn't have an editor and an audience, and look at technology. Who created all this that we can connect and talk? And on and on and on. It really is amazing that it's such an interconnected web. Chief Seattle, the great Native American wisdom keeper, wrote of the interconnectedness of all things, that man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. And the more I'm aware of that, it's quite humbling. It's also quite inspiring because when I go out and look at the stars, the vastness crushes my ego because I'm beyond insignificant. I'm not even a microbe. But yet, when the ego is crushed and then the real me emerges, I'm a particle in this vast mystery. Some might say the body of God, or they might have different metaphors. They might say it in a different language. I have no idea what it is, but it feels loving, and it's incredible. And I'm glad that you were spontaneous today, because when we get out of the way and then move into cooperation with this vast mystery, this loving mystery, this infinitely intelligent source of all being, God Almighty, the miracles that happen. I mean, I'm living proof. I feel like Mr. Magoo had 99% of the time, one of my heroes. So, yeah, and for all those people who did pick me up, and I try to pay it forward every day. I had a very interesting encounter this morning. I woke up after a few hours sleep post-election trying to process everything that went on. And
really?
All I know to do is, yeah, exactly. I'm still doing that. I just thought, well, I don't want to lose sight of who I am. And then I went to the juice bar, and this guy walks in, and he sits down, and he was an African-American, so what? And we start chatting. We had this great conversation, and I ended up just buying his breakfast for a few measly dollars, probably for less than I make on a book, you know? And we had this good talk, and then he said, oh, you write. I'd love to read your book someday. I said, I have one in the car. It's the last one. It was sitting on the seat. Will you sign it? And then before we left, I said, well, what are you inspired about today? And he said, you know, brother, it's just a day at a time for me. I live here on the street. And I almost fell over, Mark. I didn't think he was a homeless. He was clear-eyed. He was just like me. He was me. And I was like, wow. So he said, but brother, you made my morning. And I thought he made mine, quite honestly. Well, this was not the case of anything going on that there was no sense of a hierarchy. I mean, that would be ridiculous. But we're just two brothers sitting down that the universe brought together like a divine appointment, no different than a television celebrity, which is meaningless, picking you up, giving you a ride or our beautiful
right.
connection. But I thought, isn't life crazy? And I got such a beautiful feeling from our exchange and the fact that I could just brighten another person's day who shocked me with their homelessness, and that we have homelessness, you know, in our wealthy country. And it sort of set the tone. It's like, well, I can't control the macro, but I can just continue to be a loving force in the world in my own way. And if anything, now I'm called to do that to a greater degree. It doesn't have to be dramatic, but just everybody you're listening, go do one kind thing out of your comfort zone. And it's the most selfish thing in the world because it changed
wow.
my day. It changed my day. What a privilege to be on that end of the exchange and to maybe brighten someone else's life. Like my angels used to say so eloquently, go out and be a star in someone's night sky. We can all do that.
It.
You don't even need to do that. So,
you know, one
Amen.
Thing that as we're reaching out and connecting with more and more people, you know, the thing I see now, how I kind of try to make sense of what's going on is like we're reaching out to connect with our tribe of kindred souls. And that's how we meet all these people. And I, you know, I just, I love doing this radio show because, I mean, I get to have these amazing conversations every week with people like yourself. And it's fun. It's fun. It's stimulating. And it makes me feel like I'm contributing. And by the way, I want to remind our listeners, what you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show with my guest today is Paul Dolman, who is an amazing human being and an enlightened, fun person. And so that's what I see, is that we're gathering our tribe of kindred souls. We're meeting the people that we're supposed to meet, and we're continuing to grow. And that's something I think that I see in my life. I used to talk about change. When I wrote Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes, I thought more in terms of change. Now I think more in terms of expansion and evolution, that we're all evolving. We're becoming more our real selves. We're becoming true to ourselves, more authentic selves. And as we do this, we're more available. We're more authentic, and it's easy for us to connect with other people. And that's what you're doing with this hitchhiking. I mean, it's something that are you doing hitchhiking now, or is your car out of the shop? out of the shop.
No. And yeah, no, I've retired. I moved on. I was retired into the Hitchhiking Hall of Fame out in Des Moines, Iowa. If you're ever in Des Moines, Iowa, the Hitchhiking Hall of Fame is on 3rd and Crescent.
I have a friend that lives there in Des Moines.
Yeah, tell them if they get in touch with me, I can get them discounted tickets to Hitchhiking Hall of Fame. Jack Kerouac. I'm to the right of the Jack Kerouac Museum and the wing or whatever, the little exhibit there, just across from the Mark Twain piece.
That's
so
where you're
I have retired.
Now? Is it
no,
in
no,
Des
that's
Moines?
You said if I'm doing no. I'm in actually Florida by the beach. But you asked me if I was still hitchhiking, and no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I retired. I was inducted into that Hitchhikers Hall of Fame in Des Moines, Iowa.
I get it.
For those scoring at home, at Crescent and 3rd. But
right.
What you said was true. In fact, it almost sounds like me off when I'm not doing my show, if you caught it off camera. In fact, that was my intention when I started the Polycast. We're on iTunes if anyone's listening. But I thought, I want to find my tribe. I'm lonely for my tribe. I've got a lot of people around me, but I'm lonely these kind of conversations with you, Mark, and the listener who's tuning in, our tribal circle here. And I love it because I get to talk to all these wonderful people and they're becoming friends. And then they're all saying, well, if you're ever in Santa Fe, and I'm sure if I'm ever in Mill Valley area, you and I are going to break bread with Steve.
Exactly.
So the world got warmer and smaller and cozier. And God, it would be a sad world without that. I'm not a guy that watches television. That's a one way. I just, you sit there and it's not interactive. I would rather have a dialogue like I did this morning with Eric at breakfast or with you or with somebody anywhere that's open. Yesterday, I spent the day riding around on my bike and in my car talking to people, predominantly women, holding Trump signs because I was fascinated and curious, and I couldn't understand it. And I met the most beautiful people, and I felt them. And it was a positive experience. And so I'm interested in all kinds and all types of people. I don't want to just talk to the people that agree with me.
Right.
I don't know where that one guy would be anyway. I don't know. But
yeah,
it's fun. And what you're doing, it's the same thing. And it is time, like you eloquently stated, to not only find our tribe, but to take our inner game, our soul game, to the next level. Come on. It's not about just surviving. It's about thriving. It's about expanding.
Thriving.
It's about ascending.
Yeah.
Outwardly and inwardly. So that way there's a nice holistic balance. It's not about martyrdom. It's about boundaries. And I'm glad that I'm here hurtling through space right now in this time with plenty to eat. Count me in.
Yeah. Count me in. I like that. And I like the fact that you're excited, that you even say that. Some people are afraid to say I'm excited. I mean, I was excited. I was excited about the election. I really was. Over the weekend, I was very excited. And but people sometimes are afraid to get excited because they're afraid they'll get disappointed. And I was disappointed. But it's kind of like, so what? You know, if you're disappointed, get excited again. It's not the end of the world. You're disappointed. People think if they get disappointed, it's the end of the world. You know what? We'll get excited again and have something to get excited about and to something that gives you hope. And that's really what I try to do is inspire possibility in people's lives and by doing that, I do it for myself because I inspire possibility for myself, and that really it snowballs. It's kind of like in a way. Paying it, as you say, paying it forward, and also honoring ourselves, because I think that the more that we honor ourselves and are true to ourselves, the more love we have to give to other people. And that's how we make a better world, is to come from our hearts and share what fulfills us, what moves us, what we're all about. We all want to share love. We all want to love, and we want to be loved. I think what we all want, but sometimes we're afraid of that.
I completely agree, and I am super inspired. I am excited. This sounds cliche, but a lot of nights when I go to bed, I'm like a kid that knows that Santa Claus is coming tomorrow. I have no idea what that is or what they're going to bring me, but I'm so juiced. I'm juiced for that morning espresso and the sunrise, and today I was excited to talk to you, and God only knows what else is going to be good. And I am excited, but I'm also heartbroken every day over and over. I was very disappointed in the election. I was disappointed when Bernie lost. I'm disappointed when people shoot animals for his trophies. I'm disappointed when unarmed black men are killed. I'm disappointed that we care more about money than people, that we sell food that's poisonous, that we're heartless. In the name of these isms, like we could feed everybody, but that would be some unacceptable ism. I don't know what it is today, communism, socialism, stupidity-ism, and we have these ideas and that the world's run by ego. That breaks my heart. And yet within the heartbreak of the world, there's the most immense and intense beauty and compassion in human beings that rise above in a million ways, small ways. They don't end up on any monument, and sometimes they die as unknown soldiers in the fight for love. But
Paul,
hey,
well, I'm going to have
life.
To like. We're running out of time. I can't believe this. You know, it's like, it's what happens, right, when you're totally engrossed in a conversation. So in the 90 seconds we have left, what's your wish for people? Like we could say it in. You know, a few words. What do you wish for people? What do you want to leave them with so that, you know, when they think of you, what do you want them to think?
Well, it says it on the book too. Just stay open because you never know when the magic might happen. And how do you stay open? You feel safe. So go within and find out who you really are and why you're here, and choose love, and trust. And when you fall off the horse or the bike, get back on, love harder. And believe in these possibilities, like you're saying. Believe in the infinite possibilities of love. Go the extra mile. This is all we got. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't live with regret. Turn the TV off. Get out there and love some people. Hug some people. Give it all you got. Leave it out there. And sleep like an angel, then wake up and do it again better the next day. And have the audacity to love and hope. Keep your heart open, everyone. Thank you.
Wow. So, Paul, thanks so much for being on the show. There's so much more I wanted to ask you. I just feel like we're, you know, on the surface here. There's so much more. And so I'm going to have you come back another time and continue this conversation. So thank you. Thank you, everybody. Till next time, journey on until we have another great conversation.
As a life coach and life discovery guide, Mark made his career change in 2001. The lessons, insights, and unique questions are provided for you in the book Dancing on the River, Navigating Life's Changes. Go to Amazon.com now and buy a copy. And tune in to Inspire Possibilities Show on PBS Radio every other Wednesday, 6 p.m. Station 1. You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities.